Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
This is an important personal appeal from Pastor Doug Joseph. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin is hosting a town hall on Tuesday, August 11 at 3:30 p.m. in Morgantown at the Provolone's Italian Grill off the Pierpont exit. We're mounting an effort to take a large bus, free of charge to you, of concerned citizens from the Clarksburg area all the way up through the Fairmont area to attend that town hall and express that Senator Manchin should oppose the very dangerous nuclear deal with Iran. Please reply to me personally if you can meet with us in Clarksburg around 2 p.m. that day or in Fairmont around 2:30 p.m. to go with us. My email is pastor@cac.us.com. Again, that's pastor@cac.us.com. We must stop Iran from gaining nuclear armament. Join with us and help in this cause. God bless you. Dennis Prager is an amazing man. I've been an admirer of his for a long time, and I've been blessed many times by the excellent educational videos produced by his Prager University. This is an interesting concept. He gets the best teachers in the world to boil essential knowledge down into short lessons. They produce them with excellent video quality and make them available for free at prageruniversity.com. They also make them available on YouTube. And I encourage you to go and sign up. They're just tremendous. But of all the wonderful teachers that they get, one of the best ones is Dennis Prager himself. Recently, when my wife and I and quite a crew of precious folks from all around the country, in fact, all around the world, gathered in Washington, D.C. for the Christians United for Israel 10th Annual Summit, we were blessed to get to hear Dennis Prager in person. I was honestly so impacted and just basically reduced to a puddle of tears when I heard him, as a Jew from New York, say that for many Jews of his generation, not necessarily the younger that, you know, perhaps don't remember or connect quite so much with the Holocaust, but for Jews of his generation, he said that one of the first things they think of when they meet someone new is nagging somewhere in the back of their mind is an analysis and a thought of, if the Holocaust were happening right now, would this person that I'm meeting, would they hide me? And he told that huge crowd, somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000, I think maybe over 6,000 Christians there in Washington, D.C. He said, I feel like I'm in an entire room of thousands of people that would hide me. And there was this thunderous roar of applause, of affirmation that, yes, we would. Here is Dennis Prager explaining why the nuclear deal with Iran is such a horrible mistake. Listen.
We say that evil is dark, but this metaphor is imprecise. Evil is actually intensely bright, so painfully bright that people look away from it. Many even deny its existence. Why? Because once people acknowledge evil's existence, they know they have to confront it. And most people prefer not to confront evil. That is what led to World War II and the death of 55 million people. Many in the West denied the darkness of Nazism. They looked the other way when that evil could have been stopped and then appeased it as it became stronger. We are reliving 1938, the year that democratic Western nations assured a police state, the Nazi regime, that they would do nothing to prevent its expansion. That year, the British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, went to Munich to negotiate with Adolf Hitler. He left believing Hitler's promises of peace in exchange for Germany being allowed to annex large parts of Czechoslovakia. Upon returning to England, Chamberlain announced, "Peace for our time." The 2015 agreement between America, Europe, Russia, China, and Iran mirrors 1938. The Nazi regime was a police state. The Islamic Republic of Iran is a police state. The Nazis' greatest aim was to exterminate the Jews of Europe. Iran's greatest aim is to exterminate the Jewish state. The West dismissed Hitler as the Jews' problem. The West dismisses Iran as Israel's problem. Nazi Germany hated the West and its freedoms. The Islamic Republic of Iran hates the West and its freedoms. Germany sought to dominate Europe. Iran seeks to dominate the Middle East and the Muslim world. And just as Britain and France appeased Nazi Germany, the same two countries, along with the United States, have chosen to appease Iran. In fact, there's considerably less defense for the Iran agreement, which awards Iran $150 billion in currently frozen assets and the right to keep its nuclear program, than there was for the Munich agreement. Prior to 1938, Hitler had not publicly proclaimed his aim to annihilate Europe's Jews. Yet Iran has been proclaiming its intention to annihilate the Jewish state for decades. There were no massive death to America demonstrations in Germany, as there regularly are in Iran. In 1938, Germany had not been responsible for terror around the world, as Iran is now. Nor was Germany responsible for the death of more than 1,000 Americans, as Iran has been, in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Lebanon. The Neville Chamberlains of 2015 defend the agreement with Iran on two grounds: that the only alternative is war, and that this agreement has the capacity to bring Iran into the, quote, community of nations. The war argument is a falsehood, for three reasons. First, the alternative to this agreement was continuing and tightening the sanctions that were weakening the Iranian regime and greatly diminishing its ability to fund terror groups around the world. Second, because the agreement so strengthens Iran, it makes war far more likely. When evil expansionist regimes get richer, they don't spend their wealth on building new hospitals. They expand. Third, Iran has been at war with America for decades. And whoever believes that the agreement will bring Iran into the, quote, community of nations, betrays a breathtaking ignorance of the Iranian regime. The Iranian regime is composed of religious fanatics who are morally indistinguishable from ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and all the other mass-murdering Islamist movements. The Iranian regime has executed more people than any country except China and killed more than 6,000 Iranians just for being homosexual. A woman in Iran is not allowed to leave the country without the permission of her husband. The Iranian regime repeatedly calls for the extermination of Israel. No other country in the world is committed to annihilating another country. Iran is already the world's greatest funder of terror organizations. Imagine what it will do with another $150 billion. Imagine what it will do with the removal of the current weapons and missile embargo. Imagine what it will do with its intact nuclear infrastructure. This deal allows all three. Very few people have a chance to do something about the greatest evil of their time. When it votes on this agreement, the American Congress has that chance. I'm Dennis Prager.
This is an important personal appeal from Pastor Doug Joseph. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin is hosting a town hall on Tuesday, August 11 at 3:30 p.m. in Morgantown at the Provolone's Italian Grill off the Pierpont exit. We're mounting an effort to take a large bus, free of charge to you, of concerned citizens from the Clarksburg area all the way up through the Fairmont area to attend that town hall and express that Senator Manchin should oppose the very dangerous nuclear deal with Iran. Please reply to me personally if you can meet with us in Clarksburg around 2 p.m. that day or in Fairmont around 2:30 p.m. to go with us. My email is pastor@cac.us.com. Again, that's pastor@cac.us.com. We must stop Iran from gaining nuclear armament. Join with us and help in this cause. God bless you. Senator James Lankford, a Republican from Oklahoma, is another man that I have come to admire greatly. And the more I learn about him and the more I hear from him, the greater my respect is for him. He's not only a tremendous pro-life advocate, but also a pro-Israel advocate. I don't have time today to go into the heartbreaking and sickening Planned Parenthood scandal in which chief officials of the Planned Parenthood organization have been filmed by investigative journalists negotiating the price for selling body parts and even whole intact aborted babies. It is sickening beyond words. A big thank you to James Lankford, Senator from Oklahoma, for speaking out against this atrocity. But he is also speaking out against the Iran nuclear agreement. Listen as he discusses now on the Senate floor why the Iran nuclear agreement is such a horrendous mistake. Again, this is Senator James Lankford, Republican from Oklahoma.
Mr. President, we're facing in the days ahead one of the most consequential issues that we'll face as a nation. This issue about an agreement with Iran. Some people want to make this into a partisan conversation. It's not a partisan conversation. It's a national security issue, and it's a world security issue. The Senate has already held multiple hearings on Iran and on this particular agreement. The Intel Committee that I sit on, the Armed Services Committee, Foreign Relations Committee, I personally met with Secretary of Treasury Jack Lew, Secretary of Energy Ernest Moniz, Secretary of State John Kerry. I've been through the agreement and through the classified portion of this agreement in every detail. I wish I could also go through the IAEA information about how the inspections will actually occur, because the agreement itself gives broad statements. The IAEA agreement will be the narrow, practical, how they're going to actually do inspections. But I've been told over and over again by the administration and by officials that the U.S. will not have a role in determining how the inspections will be done, and that they will not even see the methods of how we will do inspections before they actually begin. They told me they've been orally briefed on the process, but they've not actually seen it, which means they haven't seen it, I can't see it. It seems odd to me that the final aspect of the agreement that actually gives the greatest detail of how the inspections will occur, none of us can actually see. It's difficult to have this trust but verify attitude when we're actually not given the ability to verify how they're verifying and to see how much trust is actually being given in this process. The White House has told us over and over again that if you don't like this deal, there's two options. It's either war or you provide a better solution. I'm telling everyone, let's slow down. Let's look at both of those things, and let's also back up and see where we are. The U.S. and the U.N. have for years said that Iran should not enrich uranium. In fact, there are six U.N. resolutions saying Iran should not enrich uranium. Why? Because Iran is the single largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. Iran has propped up the Assad regime in Syria. They are paying the soldiers to walk side by side and to fight with Assad right now and hold up that Syrian government. Iran is paying for and propping up the coup that's in Yemen right now on Saudi Arabia's southern border. They're still chanting in the streets, death to America, and they're actively pursuing larger and larger weapons. I think there is a reason to take this seriously. Now, back to the statement the White House has said, if you don't agree with this agreement, then it's either war or you come up with a better option. Let me touch on those two things briefly. I think in many ways, this agreement actually pushes us faster to a process towards war. And why would I say that? Because the conventional weapons ban is lifted under this agreement, and Iran can freely purchase weapons from around the world that has been banned by UN treaty now, That's now lifted under this agreement. To pacify the Gulf states and Israel, immediately the administration went to the Gulf states and said, we understand the conventional weapons ban is being lifted there, so we're going to provide you greater technology and weapons, and we're going to provide you greater access to weapons and help to be able to get those weapons. So help me understand why encouraging the Middle East to start dialing up with more and more weapons on both sides of this doesn't actually push us towards war even faster. Then this statement about you provide a better solution as if this is the only option that's sitting out there. Well, the agreement itself was written in such a way that the UN would approve this first. Then the European Union would approve it second. And then the United States Congress would get it third. That was intentionally done to try to add pressure to this Congress to say, you can't turn away from this. The rest of the world has signed on to it, so you can't turn away from it. This Congress should not process things under fear, and this Congress should not process things saying, you're the last in line, so you better sign up to where the rest of the world is. We have to look at this because we are directly affected by this. Remember, Iran has said over and over again that the United States is the great Satan in the world. And anyone who believes that Iran wants to be able to come alongside of us and be a peaceful member of the club is not actually reading what Iran is actually saying. Not to mention this whole theory of if you don't sign on this agreement, there is no better deal. Let me just mention something that was in Bloomberg last week. Last week, Bloomberg reported that the French senior diplomat, Jacques Audubert, the senior diplomatic advisor to President Hollande, the individual that led the French diplomatic team in discussions with Iran in the P5 plus one group, the one who was in the room, earlier this month directly disputed Kerry's claim that a congressional rejection of the Iran deal would result in the worst of all worlds, the collapse of sanctions and Iran racing to a bomb without restrictions. The French senior diplomat actually said, if Congress votes this down, there will be saber rattling and some chaos for a year or two, but in the end, nothing will change and Iran will come back to the table and negotiate a better deal that will be to our advantage. Let me run that past you again. He said he thought if Congress voted this down, we would get a better deal. That means two things. One is he believes again that Iran will come back to the table on this, and he also believes there is a better deal out there, that this is not the best deal that we could get. After going through the agreement, I have very serious concerns about it. I'm concerned there are loopholes in this agreement big enough to drive a truck through. Specifically, this truck is the truck that it's big enough to drive through. Let me go through some of my concerns. This agreement assumes that the intelligence community can identify locations in a country the size of Texas, all the locations for possible inspection, notify the IAEA which places they should go, that we would be able to contact Iran, get permission from them to visit those sites, which takes approximately a month. I'll go into greater detail on that. And that we would actually access those sites and find the information that we wanted there. The IAEA is reporting that they can really only track for uranium. So all of the other research that goes into building a nuclear weapon, they couldn't actually track that after 24 days. But they feel confident if there's uranium that was there, they could actually track that. So basically, if we're in the final stages of them assembling something and we catch them and we're able to get permission to get in there, we could get to it. Not to mention the fact that the Iranian leaders have said over and over again, since the agreement was signed, there is no way that the IAEA will get access to military sites in Iran. That's a loophole big enough to drive this truck through. The IAEA has to give 24 hours notice of its intent to inspect. Then Iran has 14 days to let the inspectors in. Of course, they can stall for 10 more days in the agreement itself. That's 25 days minimum to hide whatever they're working on. That's a lot of time to be able to move computer equipment and all sorts of installed things. And at the end of it, IAEA would say, we could actually determine if there was ever uranium there, even after 25 days, but basically nothing else. We have incredible people that work in the intelligence community, that work for us, that most Americans will never see and will never meet. But there's some amazing patriotic Americans. But they can't see everything, and they can't catch every needle in the haystack that is in Iran. It would help the intelligence community. It would help us in our inspections if we had access to the previous military dimensions for the nuclear weapons program that Iran has had on board. But the agreement itself only says we have to get all things from right now forward, that we don't have to have the documents previous. And if we do, Iran will actually pick the documents that we will see previous in their nuclear practice. So now we have to find a location with no previous documents, with no way to be able to really see what research they've done and how far advanced they are. You see, we're looking for different things if there are different stages of their research and development on a nuclear weapon. To say in the agreement, we're not going to have to get all the previous research that they've done in the past is an enormous loophole in this. And it's a definite detriment to what we're doing in our own discovery. Iran has to dramatically decrease the number of centrifuges that they're spinning and cascading to enrich uranium. That's true, and I'm glad for that. They have to pull out what is a known stockpile and reduce that. I'm glad of that, and that's a positive thing. But Iran can continue to enrich uranium with 5,000 cascading centrifuges, just in smaller amounts and using their older centrifuges. Again, that sounds like a win. But there's no reason, if you have peaceful purposes for uranium, for you to keep 5,000 centrifuges spinning if you're only doing it for peaceful purposes. Iran can continue testing their advanced centrifuges and small cascades, their IR-6s, IR-8s. Iran can continue doing research and development on their most advanced form of centrifuges. Worst of all, they can keep over 1,000 of their most advanced centrifuges still in a cascade in their most heavily fortified facility. They just have to promise that they won't put uranium in that. But they can continue to do testing and development, so when that time comes, they'll be ready to be able to accelerate uranium faster there. So basically, they can do everything in the process except put uranium at that point. We're allowing them time to increase their research with 1,000 centrifuges in their most advanced level. Why would we agree to that? That doesn't seem to be a pathway to peaceful purposes. That seems to be a pathway to high-grade uranium in the development within country. The conventional, I've already mentioned already, but within just a very few years, the conventional weapons ban is lifted in this agreement and allowing additional conventional weapons to flood in to the single largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. Not to mention the fact that what's flooding in before all of those conventional weapons are billions of dollars that have been held in sanctions. Now, again, there's been no change on tactics of terrorism. There's been no change of statement from the leadership of Iran, but they're getting billions of dollars. If they used, and under sanctions, they used their money to prop up Yemen and form a coup there and to prop up Assad in Syria, what are they going to do with an additional $60, $70 billion? The administration has said they desperately need that money so they can do infrastructure. They're getting billions of dollars. You're not going to tell me a major portion of that is not going to be used for terrorism. They've said, as the administration has said, we built in snapback sanctions, that if Iran violates something, immediately we'll snap back the sanctions. But if you actually look at the details of how those snapback sanctions happen, it's months and months in the process of getting everyone back together and forming an agreement that we're going to do that. And if we snap back sanctions, written into the agreement, it says Iran can then, if we snap back sanctions, they can then kick out their part of the agreement as well and consider it a violation of the agreement and walk away. And now there's no restrictions on them. So basically, we're the ones that are punished if we ever snap back sanctions. If we snap back sanctions, Iran can say, see, I told you so, and they'll immediately kick into their normal process they were into before. By the way, their advanced centrifuges are already spinning. They're still continuing. Nothing was diminished in that. I haven't even mentioned things like their research and development can continue in all their weapons systems. All that's unabated. The only limitation seems to be around enriched uranium. But everything else continues the same. I was also appalled as I went through this agreement and saw the leader of the Quds Force, General Soleimani, who personally coordinated the creation, distribution, and installation of improvised explosive devices in Iraq designed to kill Americans. This leader personally was engaged in killing hundreds of American soldiers in the war in Iraq. Hundreds. The sanctions on that general is lifted, so he can have normalized relationships worldwide, and four American hostages remain Can someone tell me why the murderer general of Americans, his sanctions are lifted, but American citizens still remain hostages in Iran? I have to tell you, I was stunned by many things that were in this agreement and how many loopholes were built into it. But none surprised me more than the part of the agreement that we made as a country, apparently, that if Iran is attacked, the United States will now come to their defense. Help me understand this. As they continue a nuclear weapons program, if a country steps in and attacks them and says, no, you can't do that, that's a violation, we're going to stop that. The United States is now agreeing to come defend Iran as they're advancing their nuclear program? Have we lost our mind? Now, the administration, when asked about this, they've just said it won't happen. If it won't happen, why did we put it in the agreement? Why is it there at all? This seems to be a struggle to be able to get an agreement more than it is a struggle to say we have got to prevent the world's largest sponsor of terrorism from getting a nuclear weapon at any cost. This is not about slowing their nuclear program. It should be about stopping their nuclear program. This cannot come to our doorstep. This cannot come to the Middle East. And while the Middle East further weaponizes to prepare for a more aggressive Iran, we continue to step up and say, we'll help you weaponize, and I don't see how that's deterring us from war. There is a better agreement out there, and we should push to get it, and we should take care of the loopholes that are big enough to drive a truck through, and we should resolve this issue, and we should not pretend this is a partisan issue. This is not about Republican, Democrat. This is about peace, and this is about trying to work out the differences. And the differences are strong with all nations and Iran. Let's work that out together, and let's keep pushing until we get this resolved. But I cannot support this agreement with Iran. With that, I yield back.
This is an important personal appeal from Pastor Doug Joseph. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin is hosting a town hall on Tuesday, August 11 at 3:30 p.m. in Morgantown, at the Provolone's Italian Grill off the Pierpont exit. We're mounting an effort to take a large bus, free of charge to you, of concerned citizens from the Clarksburg area all the way up through the Fairmont area to attend that town hall and express that Senator Manchin should oppose the very dangerous nuclear deal with Iran. Please reply to me personally if you can meet with us in Clarksburg around 2 p.m. that day, or in Fairmont around 2:30 p.m. to go with us. My email is pastor@cac.us.com. Again, that's pastor@cac.us.com. We must stop Iran from gaining nuclear armament. Join with us and help in this cause. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
When you listen to the Bible instead of religion, there's only one God, and He's not a man. He's spirit, bodiless, boundless, invisible, timeless, unchanging. But you read that God had a timeless plan to come as a man, to die as punishment for the sins of the world. God's promised Messiah is both man and God. As God, no beginning, but as a man, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Spirit of God. As God, can't die, but as man, Jesus died on the cross, is resurrected, and alive today. And He's coming back. You disagree with the Greek philosophy of three God persons as distinct, self-aware beings. There's just God and God's humanity. The downside is being frowned on for being unorthodox. But there is a church where you won't get frowns. Christian Apostolic Church, where oneness, Pentecostal, and holiness. Learn more on the web at cac.us.com.